There are 9 types of prayer in the Bible. And if you use the right prayer for the right occasion, you will find greater success to your prayer life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, an old preacher once said that 8 times out of 10, people's prayer requests are unscriptural. Listen to this. 8 times out of 10, most people's prayer requests are unscriptural. Now, you think they're going to get success, get an answer, if their prayer is unscriptural? You can turn to your neighbor and say, no way. It's not going to happen, right? God will not violate His word. And so what are some examples of unscriptural prayers? Well, a lot of Christians will say to me, and maybe you've heard them say to you, often it happens on a parting, you know, goodbye. Please pray for me. Brother Steve, don't forget. Pray for me. Now, when people say things like that, I would usually hold them back and say, what for? Now, again, 8 times out of 10, people say, I don't know. You just said, pray for me. What do you want me to pray for? I don't know. Well, how would you know when your prayer is answered if you don't know what you're asking for? So one of the things that we've learned about praying and talking to God is be specific with Him. Amen? Pray specifically, get specific answers. Pray general prayers, get a general answer. How about that? Now, some will say, well, pray that I have more faith. I've heard this many times, maybe you have. Pray that I have more faith, Pastor Steve. Well, I'm not going to do it, because that is an unscriptural request. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 teaches, how does faith come? By hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you won't hear the word of God, you're not going to get faith. If you will hear the word of God, faith is automatic. Now listen, if I said to you, I'll pick you up at 7 o'clock, and then you reply, let me pray about it. I'd have to say, what are you going to pray about? Well, Brother Steve, let me pray that I will have faith to believe you. Now, is that a compliment or an insult? If I said to you, I am going to pick you up, I promise, I'm picking you up at 7. If you believe my word, you have faith in me. If you don't believe my word, then you have doubt. You don't believe in me. Praying about it does absolutely nothing. You don't need to pray about having faith. Once you read God's word, faith is automatic. If you accept it, if you believe it, faith is automatic. It is unscriptural to pray that you have more faith. Now, I know so many Christians just refuse to believe this. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, I point you to that reference. There is no instance in the Bible where someone prayed for more faith. When they did ask for more faith, there's a couple of times when they asked Jesus, you know, we need more faith. He said, use the faith that you've got. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this sycamore tree, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it will obey your word. In other words, Jesus was saying, the problem is not that you don't have enough faith. The problem is you have faith, but you don't know how to apply faith, how to use faith. Faith works by words. If you pray or you come up for prayer and you say, I don't feel any change whatsoever. Well, there you go, amen. According to your mouth, be it done unto you. Because faith works through your mouth. Faith works by words. In fact, that is how we get saved. When we say we get saved by grace through faith, what do we mean? We mean that if you shall confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall, that's it, you shall be saved. So how does faith for salvation work? Through your mouth. It's completely useless if you hear the gospel and you say, wow, that's amazing that Jesus died on the cross for me. Let me pray about that. Let me pray, let me ask God to give me faith to believe Jesus died on the cross for me. Right? Nobody would do that. You'd say, no, there's no need. Just act on what you have heard. If you believe it, speak it with your mouth and you shall be saved. Others will say, pray that I know more. Again, that is useless unless you plan to study. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, people's prayer requests range from the sublime to the silly and sinful. This is an actual prayer request that somebody asks. Pray that I can have another man's wife. Pray that I can have another man's wife. So this dude is eyeing somebody in the church, and she's already another man's wife. And the person says, can you pray for me that I can have this woman instead of the wife that I have? Now, that's completely unscriptural. There's no point praying that prayer because the Bible says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife and possessions and house and cars and belongings. Amen? Another guy, this is a real prayer request, came up to someone, a preacher, and said, can you pray that I have all the gifts of the Spirit? Can you pray that I would have all of the gifts of the Spirit? And the guy asked, why? He said, well, Sister so-and-so prophesied over me that I would be the greatest of all preachers. In fact, I will be greater than all the apostles and prophets combined. My ministry will be greater than everyone else's except Jesus. Now, will you pray that it happens? Now, how can we send that prayer request up to God? Because it's so full of stinking pride. And the minister had enough wisdom to say, well, can I ask you a question? How long have you been saved? And this person said, 6 months. And they said, well, that would just violate the scripture. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, that an elder must not be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. God will not put some brand new novice or a new believer into a position of authority. So what's your job? Study the Bible. In fact, this guy wants to be the greatest of all apostles combined, and he doesn't even know the basic principles of scriptural prayer. Everybody, it would be worthwhile for everybody just to spend a little bit more time studying the Word of God. Amen? Now, I'll give you one last example because it relates to one of the nine types of prayers. All right? Obviously, if you're going to pray the prayer of faith, you need to look up scriptures and pray according to the scriptures. The prayer of faith is called the prayer of petition or the prayer of requesting something. It's the prayer to change circumstances or change situations. That's called the prayer of faith. Now, we've taught a lot about that. We're not going to go over it too much. But here's another woman. She was up in the altar sighing and crying. She was so sad, so depressed. She's bawling her eyes out. Finally, the visiting minister came to her and said, Sister, what's wrong? And she just cried and boo-hooed and cried and cried, and he could barely get her attention. And he asked her again, well, Sister, can you tell me what's wrong? What are you up here for? What do you want me to pray for? And she finally, when she gathered herself, she said, oh, the burdens of life. I can't carry them anymore. She said, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray that one of two things happen. Either God gives me the grace to carry them all, or God will take half of them so I can carry the other half. Now, you know, we can't pray that prayer for you because neither of those prayers are scriptural. And I want to show you what the scriptures say. This is called the prayer of commitment. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Please, if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And Peter says a basic commandment of God that relates to prayer. He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You see that? How many cares should you cast upon Him? That's right. God's Word translation says, turn all your anxiety over to God because God cares for you. The basic English, the Bible in basic English, putting all your troubles on Him, for He takes care of you. How many troubles are we supposed to put on God? Not half, not most. We're to put them all on Him. The New Living Translation says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. The Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says in the King James, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. The American Standard says, in nothing be anxious. In how many things can you be anxious? Nothing. In nothing be anxious. The Amplified says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. This prayer is called the prayer of commitment, or the prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord. The reason it's called the prayer of commitment is from scriptures like Psalms 37. Let me give you that one more. Psalm 37, reading verse 1 and 5. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Commit your way to the Lord. Everyone say commit. Commit. Say, I commit my way to the Lord. I do not fret. I do not worry. Instead, I commit my ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. The Bible says you are not to worry. And most people would say, but isn't it normal to worry? Let me define worry for you. Worry is to be stressed, overly concerned, anxious, or unsettled. Now, do any of those things sound good to you? You know, stress will absolutely ruin your sleep and rob you of health. Worry has burnt people out in ministry, pastors and ministers. Worry will rob you of long life, a lasting ministry, and God's best. You know, I went to school where my teacher learned these truths early on in his life, and he said, I refuse to worry. I never worried a day in my life. And you know what? He also never got sick. Now, many people blame God when they get sick. But you know, one of the causes of sickness, and even a secular doctor will tell you, is simply being stressed out, being anxious, worrying about stuff. It will ruin your health. That's not God's best for you. Let me give you four reasons why worry is so bad. Even though it may seem so normal, so much a part of our day or our life, before we find out what the scriptures say, let me give you these four scriptural reasons why worry is so bad and we should avoid it. Number one, if you're ready to write it down, worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. Now, if I, you know, said to you that smoking and drinking is a sin and you should avoid it, would you believe that? Yeah. Why? Because it hurts your health. It's not because God doesn't want you to have fun. It's because it hurts your health. You know, when someone gets pregnant, when a woman gets pregnant, they have to immediately stop smoking and drinking. If smoking and drinking is so good, how come a baby doesn't like it? How come a pregnant woman can actually, if they don't stop it, they can actually get deformities in their babies? It's a bad thing for your health, isn't it? Amen? All right, so most people would know enough, especially if they're pregnant, to avoid smoking and drinking. And yet, can I tell you this? Worry is far worse than smoking and drinking. Worry is a far worse habit than the habit of smoking tobacco, chewing tobacco, or drinking liquor. And yet, so many Christians wouldn't think about seriously kicking the habit of worry. But the Bible says in three different places, do not worry. Cast all of your cares, all of your anxieties, all of your troubles upon God. Why? Because he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, after he says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, Peter continues in verse 8, and it's very interesting what he says next. Take a look. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Did you get that? That worry was attached to opening the door to the devil. And the devil is trying to devour people's lives. He's trying to stop you from fulfilling your call. He's trying to stop you from entering into God's best. And the Bible says, just right before the devil walks about like a lion seeking whom he may devour, it says, make sure, if you don't want to be devoured, to not entertain any worry in your life. Now, I know kicking the habit of smoking or drinking would be very tough, but you can ask God for help. In the same way, kicking the habit of worry may be very tough for you, but you can ask God for help today because that's God's best for you. Number two reason why worry is so bad, it will stop your faith from working. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Faith won't work in your heart with worry in your head. A worried prayer ain't no use.
You've just listened to part of an audio teaching CD. For the full message, please visit Discover Ministries' website at discover.org.au. You can also obtain other teaching CDs, DVDs, or other resources by Pastor Steve Ciccolanti. We trust that you were blessed by this teaching.